we need permission sometimes to go a different direction. And so many people that I have had the opportunity to work with that I can impart that knowledge into, it just releases, like it just ignites a freedom inside of them.
Welcome to the Creative Chats Podcast with Mike Brennan.
Welcome, friends, to another episode of Creative Chats. It's the podcast for artists, makers, and content creators where we talk about creativity, the creative process, and story. I hope this podcast finds you well today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I never take it for granted that you would take some time out of your day, out of your busy lives, to listen into the chats that I have here on this podcast. I love having these chats with these folks because I always learn something new and I walk away inspired, and I hope the same is true for you. And if I could ask a favor, if that is true for you, even if this is your first time listening, if you get to the end of this episode and you're thinking, wow, you know what? There was some great value in there for me. This really encouraged me and helped me on my own journey. Would you just take a few moments and leave a review and a rating, specifically on iTunes, if that's where you've listened, you know, Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling it these days. I can't keep up with the technology sometimes. But if you could leave a review and a rating, that would really help it be found and seen and heard by other people. And I would love to just get this in the ears of some other folks who may be just struggling on their journey or maybe need some inspiration or some encouragement or would love to hear some of the guests I have. And so it's really easy if you just go over there and, I mean, they make it real simple. You can just click how many stars you want to leave and leave, like I said, just even a 1 or 2 sentence review. That would really help me out a lot. I would so appreciate that. Now, in today's episode, I had a chat with Terry Johnson, a new friend of mine who I met earlier this year at a conference. She was one of the speakers and just did a phenomenal job. Now, Terry is the president and founder of Keeping It Personal, a faith-based organization that comes alongside women entrepreneurs and business owners and helps them grow their businesses. And she just loves pouring into other people, being a cheerleader and encourager. You're going to hear all of that as we talk and chat today. And she has also written her own book called Overcoming the Nevers. I just love that title. And we talk a little bit about that and her process. And you're just going to be able to see a little bit more behind the scenes in how Terry approaches things when it comes to creating. And as I've said in the past, you know, our creativity can take many forms. It's not just drawing or painting or music. It can also be in business. It can be creating a talk, you know, a message for someone who's a speaker, or content for social media marketing, or writing a book. All these things take our ability to sit down and actually create something, to figure out our process, to figure out what we want to say, how we want to say it, and how we want to deliver it. And so we get into some of that stuff today as I chat with Terry. So I hope you enjoy this episode, and let's roll it. Terry, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking time out to be with us today.
Yes, I'm super excited to just have this conversation with you.
So, you know, this is, I love that we can connect like this. We connected back at an event and really appreciated your heart, and just, you were one of the speakers who just, you really left stuff on the stage there. You poured out and you loved people. And I really appreciated that of you, your insights and just who you are as a person really shines through. So I want to just say thank you again for that.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that, your kind words. That really inspires me too. So thank you.
Absolutely. So why don't we begin by you just giving us like the bird's eye view. Who is Terry Johnson? What do you do? Where are you from?
Yeah. So I grew up in Minnesota and now I live in California. So I went from freezing cold to super hot, which I love because I'm in the desert in California, and it's really fun to be here after, you know, over 45 years in Minnesota. It was like, okay, I'm ready to see the sun more. So I'm a mom of 2 boys. I have a almost 20-year-old and a 17-year-old. and I'm married and I own a company called Keeping It Personal. We help women business owners, entrepreneurs, and sales professionals grow their businesses. I've been doing that for over 10 years now with Keeping It Personal. And just, I love what I do. So I don't really consider it work, but it's definitely something I'm passionate about and just feel blessed to have the opportunity to work with the women that, you know, show up that we can serve on a daily basis. So yeah, so I love to walk. I have a dog. I enjoy, you know, just, I'm a people person. So anytime I have the opportunity to have a conversation like this or just sit down and chat and have coffee with somebody, I am all over it. Other than that, I really don't have a lot of hobbies. I would say people and conversations are just things that I enjoy and getting to know others. And I am a huge cheerleader and encourager. So those are the things I love to do. I do enjoy hiking and being out here in California now. There's a lot of different places for me to explore, and that's been really fun too. So other than that, I like to read and listen to good books and podcasts and go for long walks with my dog and get workouts. So I try to stay healthy.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love to dial things back and ask people about if there was a vivid memory centered around creativity from childhood. Maybe there was a certain expression, whether it was drawing or painting or music or whatever. Or maybe there was a certain toy or game that really brought creativity to the forefront. Is there an experience like that that you can think of that really like made you feel alive when you were a kid?
You know, it's interesting because I feel like creativity shows up in so many different ways. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you where it doesn't show up for me. And I didn't get this from my mom. My mom is like, she can sew and make and draw and do all of those things. So she, I would consider to be a super creative person, right? She's always thinking and dreaming up things. And she could like, she used to make my clothes growing up, like just sew things. And my grandma was actually an artist and she painted and different things like that. For me, I would say my creativity is connecting dots and bringing people together. I cannot tell you how many times, like, I just think about things and connect these dots. And like, I have been a matchmaker. So my creativity shows up in different ways. It's more of like, oh my gosh, like this person needs to meet this person. When they connect, I might not even be friends with them anymore, or not that I'm not friends, but I'm not the center. They went off and they're doing their own thing and they're creating, or they've got this great friendship, or maybe they're collaborating. But I have been that way since I was a little girl. I just loved bringing people together. Creating spaces is what I love creating. I love creating experiences, environments for people to just shine in. And so if I can spotlight other people, if I can connect people, to me, that's part of my creativity and it brings me a lot of joy. And I still do that today. And that's part of a big piece of my business. Just connecting people and thinking outside the box and strategically planning things. So that's my creativity. And that's what like fuels me and excites me. And I think I would do it every day, even if I didn't get paid to do it, you know?
Yeah.
But thinking about, I mean, I love the question because I would never have thought about it that way until you asked it to me. But there's so many things that we don't realize can be of huge value and of significance when we're little,
and yeah, how, absolutely.
Yeah. And how those things have played such a big role in my business and how I've been able to thrive and be successful. So.
Yeah. And see, that's why I love to ask those questions, because so many times there are moments that we can trace back. And when we have that realization that goes like, wow, you know what? Like that was a time at which I was free to play. I wasn't thinking about clients. I wasn't thinking about responsibilities. I wasn't thinking about, you know, none of those things, deadlines. It was all just, hey, I want to show up and have fun. I want to like, just be me, because nobody told us that we couldn't be at that point. And
absolutely,
you know, we just were able to step into that more freely. And so when we can trace back to that and see how, if we're doing something that really ignites us now, to see how that even started forming back then,
and how that's really a part of who we are, how we're wired. And I think just that's a beautiful thing to be aware of, and to sometimes that can even unlock things further. Yeah. I've had conversations with people as we're talking about this stuff, and they're like, you know, I never really thought about it like that, because, you know, it for me, it was obvious. It was just something I did. It's just something who I am. But now identifying that helps me to position myself to make sure I move more fully into that.
Right.
And so it's great, you know, just examining those things centered around it. And also the fact that, you know, like how you said, these, it's not always the things of drawing or painting or music or the, you know, so-called obvious expressions of creativity, but for creating a space, for being a connector, helping create these relational moments. That is so huge. And, you know, to recognize that as a legitimate and viable creative expression, I think we need to think more along those lines, so that, you know, we don't have as many people who are like, well, I'm just not creative. I'm just not, you know, that kind of person. I can't draw a paint. I can't do those expressions. But really to celebrate all those forms, you know, is I think something I love to cheerlead on as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, because it all shows up differently.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Yeah.
Good.
So you said you love to create these environments and create these connections even today. What does that look like, you know, practically speaking for you today?
Sure. Yeah. So I host retreats for women. And I mean, literally my goal from the minute they arrive to the minute they leave is to bless their socks off and create this environment where they, these retreats that I host are productivity retreats. So not only are we here to get things done, right? Because I help them grow their businesses, but also weaving in that personal time as well and giving them that space for them to think outside the box, to imagine the possibilities for their businesses, to take a step back from their day-to-day life and all the noise and be able to create that environment here. To do that in California has been amazing. I used to do them back in Minnesota too, but then when we moved out here, I have this amazing environment for them out here. And that's one reason why we picked this particular home, because I knew I was gonna be hosting these retreats here, and it's just amazing with the views of the mountains and the weather and stuff like that. So I love that. And then on a monthly basis, we host gatherings, whether it's in person or virtual. I have created an amazing format for women to connect, collaborate, grow, be encouraged, be inspired every single month, and they cannot wait to get back. But it also inspires action. It inspires them to move forward, to take that next step with purpose, whether it's personally or professionally. And we do weave our faith into everything we do. So that's how we do it now. So retreats, conferences, our monthly gatherings, those are the spaces that we're currently creating for women to connect and grow their businesses, but also collaborate and see the possibilities with the connections that they're making with other people.
Mm. Yeah. And that's cool, because it's almost like the thing that you're helping create is this living, breathing organism.
Yeah.
And to know that you have had a hand in helping somebody else in what they want to create in their business, in helping them step more fully into what they should be doing. That's got to be such a huge thing for you personally, even, right?
It is, because it's so funny, because sometimes some of the clients that we have, I feel like I'm kind of their mom in a way. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm watching you grow and I'm watching you like develop and flourish and look at what you're creating and look at what's happened over the last 3 years. And just being able to be a part of that path with them, I mean, that's priceless to me to see how the impact that it's having on their lives, on their family's lives, with their clients, and the ripple effect that it puts out, it's just pretty amazing.
Yeah. I resonate with that too, with being the encourager and being wanting to be somebody who comes alongside other people and says, you know what, like, you can do this and I see this in you, and let's help bring this out more, because somebody else did that for me, you know, when I was younger. And I'm sure you probably had the same experience, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. People who've made a mark in my life.
Yeah. And now it's taking that and then doing that for other people, helping create those experiences and those moments for others. So that's a beautiful thing. I love it. Love it. So one of the other things you've created is a book, right?
I did.
And so maybe you can talk to us a little bit about your book and just even your process in like, how did you write that? And what was your, well, just what was the flow of that? Like, how did that all come together?
Sure. So let me just take a step back, because I never wanted to write a book. So that was never, like, a lot of times people are like, oh, someday I want to write a book. That thought never crossed my mind. So it wasn't even on my radar. But what happened was I hit this rock bottom in my life in 2009, and it really caused me to pause my life and work through some really hard things. And during that process, and the tools that I was able to pick up along the way from hitting this really, really low place where I literally wanted to end my life and not live anymore, I was sharing with people the story. They said, wow, you've experienced a whole bunch of things you never thought you'd experience. You've overcome a lot of nevers. And right then it started to click, like, wow, yeah, overcoming the nevers. It was like this journey that I took. And all of a sudden I'm like, wow, like, I can really help people overcome all the things that they never thought they'd experience in their lives. And I knew exactly how to do it. And it was like, I had this message on my heart that I wanted to get out. And it was crazy, because it wasn't hard for me to write the book. It was like, I just sat down. I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of the chapters were more difficult to write than the others, because it was really trying to dig deep to explain and communicate in a really effective way how to do this. And I had to get really raw and real, but also had to be able to communicate it in a really great way. And I didn't realize I was a writer. I had started my business back in 2009. And prior to starting Keeping It Personal, I had, I had been in business for a long time. I mean, I've been working, climbing the corporate ladder, doing several other different things. But one of the things that I had done was, I was in real estate for 6 years, did very well, loved it. But my writing ability was a description on a house, like, hey, you know, master math, ceramic tile, whatever, beautiful hardwood floors in the kitchen in a center island. I mean, that was like the extent of my writing. So I never thought I was a writer. So when I had this in my heart, I'm like, wow, could I really do this? So it started with just the idea of like, I've got a message to share. Wow, I think in my head, it was just there, the different things I knew step by step. So I just started to write it out on a piece of paper. I outlined the different key points, which ended up being the primary chapters. Underneath each key point, I just brainstormed supporting ideas. Those became then the messages in each chapter. And within a year and a half, my book was, you know, edited and sent to the publisher and, you know, came out. So it was definitely a process, a really healing and therapeutic process for me. It's interesting because now I love to write, but prior to that, I didn't. And so I don't mind it now, as long as I continue to strengthen that writing muscle, right? Everything we feed grows. So if I don't strengthen that, it doesn't grow. And you probably have that same experience with art. You know, absolutely. If you're not practicing it and strengthening it, it kind of gets stale or whatever. So I have to make sure that I carve out time to do those things. I do have another book inside of me that I realized about a year ago. I'm not at the point where I'm ready to really dive into it yet. I don't know why. I'm waiting for the feeling of urgency that I had with overcoming the nevers. And I don't have it yet. So I'm thinking that there's still some more stories that I need to experience, or different maybe things that I need to experience before I'm ready to sit down and actually write it. Like, it's not complete yet for me to share it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so, but that one's going to be more of a business book. So I've got the personal development book, which is Overcoming the Nevers. This new book is a business development book. All about personal connections though. and growing your business through that and harnessing the power of those meaningful conversations is what I call them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm super excited whenever that ends up coming. But yeah, so that's it. That's my work of art.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything that was surprising to you as far as maybe either the process or the result of the book, you know, once it's out there, the things that have happened or?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because somebody asked me, I think it was my husband. He said, what does success look like for you with your book? And I said to him, I said, honestly, because I didn't care if I sold a million copies. I just knew I needed to get it out. I just said, you know, if one life has changed and impacted in a powerful way as a result of somebody reading my book, it was successful for me. And the cool part was that happened during the editing process. So I had two editors. I hired one independently, and then I had an editor on the staff of the publishing company that I went with. The editor that I hired, obviously, like I just wanted her to help because I really didn't have a lot of confidence. And so I wanted her to kind of like, I would write things and then get them to her. She would look at it, edit it. And then once I had that, then I gave it to the publisher. And when I got a message from the publishing company and the editor there and the things that she said to me about how, as she was reading through the pages, she was prompted to do different things in her life and to change and become a different person with the tools that I shared in the book. It was like, wow, okay, it's successful. Like, and then I just knew the rest was icing on the cake. So for me, it's not about selling 1,000, 10,000, a million books. Like that doesn't matter. I want the right person to get the book and I want them to read it. And if it can help them, then it's successful to me. So that, you know, is really what my definition of success is. And I've never wanted to, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of times I don't even talk about it, you know, not because I'm not proud of it or whatever. It's just, it's a tool that I just want to bless everyone with. And so when I do have the opportunity to get to know people and I feel like they could benefit from it, I share it with them. So I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So,
and I would think that it would help form even closer bonds with people and connections with people because that's your story.
Exactly. Right?
Mm-hmm. So it's a very personal and intimate thing to be able to say, hey, here, get to know me better on this level. These experiences, these thoughts that I've had. I mean, I can see how that would even then impact the relationships for business stuff as well, because then people trust you and they feel like they know you. So have you had any other like opportunities that were maybe unexpected that have come out of having the book? You know, whether it's speaking things or other, I don't know, whatever that looks like.
So, I've been invited into like women's groups to like take like 80 to 100 women through every chapter of my book week after week for like 13 weeks. I've done stuff like that. Definitely speak. You know, over the last 10 years, my life has been all about, you know, not only building my business, but being a mom. And so I have shied away from more of the speaking platforms and traveling and different things like that, just because it wasn't the right season. But any local opportunity that I have had in the last several years to be able to share, I've definitely done that. Now I'm starting to get out there a little bit more because my kids are older. But yeah, just like I said, you know, radio interviews, podcast interviews, different things like that, speaking, sharing, writing, different things like that have definitely, doors have opened as a result of having the book for sure.
Yeah. So if somebody's listening right now and they're thinking, you know what, I would really love to write a book. I have these experiences that may be, you know, maybe helpful for other people. Maybe this is a way for me to figure some things out for myself even, and do it in a way that, you know, is just engaging my creativity as well. Is there any advice that you would give somebody in, I know that yours, like you felt this very urgent sense and you kind of saw it in your mind laid out. But if somebody even isn't like that and they're just thinking like, I want to create this book, like what's maybe something that you would tell them, practically speaking, to do?
Yeah. So the first thing I tell everybody, if they do want to do this, what experience do you want the reader to feel as the result as reading the book? Okay. Like that's the first thing. Like when they're done reading through the pages, what do you want feel, think, experience? What transformation are you looking for them to have as a result of going through the pages? If you can sit down and write that, it's so amazing because then you're identifying your target market. And not only that, but it helps become an introduction to the book itself. So it's not wasted. It's like this becomes your introduction. Obviously, you're going to tweak it a little bit. But if you can brain dump that, that would be the first step. That's what I'm thinking because that's what I did. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, okay, what are my big ideas? What are these things then? Okay, how am I going to do that? Well, then you break that down into these big overarching kind of ideas. And for me, that's what became my chapters. So it could be 5, 10, 15, 20. I mean, there are so many different books with different chapters, right? And those became my chapters. And then I took down every chapter and I'm like, okay, underneath each of these chapters, what are stories, statistics, quotes, big like ideas, different things underneath each of those big ideas. And then those, that becomes like the content of the pages. And so you can really break it down into like 5 steps to really get started in writing something amazing. But for everything, we have to have a process. I mean, you could sit and just brain dump it all in one day, but then it's kind of like unorganized. You got to go back to some of those steps anyway. So I would say strategically, if you're thinking about it, start with what do you want this, like what is that thing that you want them to experience or have as a result of reading through your pages? Because that really gets you in tune with what is this, what's the purpose of it, who is it for, and how are they going to be as a result, whether it's fiction or nonfiction.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's good advice. I love that.
Yeah.
And you mentioned before that, you know, obviously this is something that you're, you have to keep on top of, you know, your writing. Yeah. Is there a certain, you know, habit or discipline that you engage regarding that? Is it like a daily thing? Is it a, you know, we'll just talk a little bit about like, what does that look like for you to keep in that skill?
Yeah. So full transparency, it comes and goes because of the demands on different things of my life, right? Personal, professional, whatever it is. When I'm on, it's weekly, like blog posting, weekly correspondence with my email list, writing content. But then journaling also helps me too. So when I, at least if I'm not doing that, if I can journal, I can, and for me, it's typing a lot. I'm not really, my hand starts to hurt. So I don't write out a lot with my, like a pen and paper. I'm more of a like type my thoughts in my journal that way. So those are the things. So consistently, yeah, every day, if I get up and I have my miracle morning, which I try to almost daily, where I, you know, I have my quiet time, I get my exercise in, I take time to, for me, I love to dig into the word and read my Bible, pray, that type of thing, and then take 15 to 20 minutes to journal. That can kind of keep it going for me. But there are seasons that I just, craziness happens. I'm traveling a lot or, you know, whatever. So I'm not perfect.
Sure. Yeah.
But, and then in my calendar, I map out my perfect week. So I do have time carved out in my calendar for those types of things, writing and creating content. Yeah. And then I can't cancel those appointments on myself. But that would be more of a professional level, like where I'm like, okay, I've got to write content for a blog or I got to write content for a training that I'm doing. Because every month I do new trainings for my clients and my community that I offer. And so those are things that I also have to do. So different forms of writing, but just keeping it going, whatever that looks like.
Yeah. I love that you mentioned putting it on the calendar too, because that's something I encourage everybody to do as well. And I think especially with those who may identify more with like visual arts or, you know, are comfortable with the term artist, you know, they may think, oh, well, that just feels like so counterintuitive to the creative process because, you know, I'm waiting for the muse or, you know, they want something a little more organic. But I try to encourage people and say, you know what, that's fine to have things that are organic, but you also have to have a system in place so that you actually show up to do the work and to engage. Because if you keep waiting just for inspiration, like you said, you know, life happens and there's this myth about like finding the time. We don't find time, we make the time.
Exactly.
So if it's that important to us, we really do need to put it on a calendar. We need to schedule it to make sure that we honor that and that we show up, and that even if what we create in that session isn't great, at least we've shown up and we've engaged and we've taken steps closer to the things that we want to accomplish there, you know?
Absolutely. And it could be just during that time being quiet, but you're setting aside the time to think about it or to create or to be like brainstorm about like, oh, what could I do? If I'm not feeling inspired right now, sometimes just being quiet and thinking about it or like whatever, carving out the time to even get into that inspired space. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Like if something does inspire you, or if you know how to get inspired and you don't do those things, then how are you going to get inspired? So yes. And then don't cancel those appointments on yourself.
Yeah. 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 Speaking of inspiration too, like I've had moments where I know I've blocked out on the calendar, and this is not necessarily for the form of creating for that purpose, but it's really more for inspiration where, you know, Julia Cameron, she has this book, The Artist's Way. And it's an amazing book that talks about doing morning pages where you're writing, you just kind of freeform writing just to kind of start your day. And then one of the other things she talks about is taking yourself on artist dates, and which is really just you going to those places where you find inspiration.
Yeah.
Making time so that if it's, you know, for a museum, then, you know, go for an hour or whatever, however long you have. But just go and let yourself just be inspired by things. Don't go with the purpose of like researching and, you know, with this whole big agenda, but just go and be open and like receive. Because when you're in that place of creating, especially if you're in a groove where it's, you're showing up every day, you're making things, you're pouring out a lot of content, you're creating a lot of things, you need to make sure that you're pouring back into yourself and getting renewed and refreshed and inspired.
Right.
And that's as much a part of the process as showing up and actually doing the work as well, right?
Well, the way that I talk about that with my clients, and whether you're an artist or not, it's working on your business versus in it.
Yeah.
And so for me to continue to come up with your creative ideas, I got to work on my business. Well, part of working on my business is also getting away from it all. That to me is working on my business, where I am detaching for a while. I'm using, that's why I do these productivity retreats, because it allows people to just get step away and think bigger. And so if we can even do that a couple times a month, even if it's an hour or two that we're carving out and be like, okay, you know, here's 2 hours I'm going to work on my whatever it is. And that is just even breathing, thinking, brainstorming. It's really powerful. Or being quiet.
Yeah.
Being still.
And for some people, I think that's harder than others, because if you're wired to be a doer, if thinking about sitting and being quiet and not actually doing something, not being active, can seem like it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
But I really try to encourage people to think about that differently. And just because you're not being active doesn't mean that nothing's happening. It doesn't mean that it's not valuable time. To not just measure all time equally, to say, well, if I'm not accomplishing things, I'm not doing, if I'm not achieving, therefore this is somehow lesser than.
Yeah.
Or feeling guilty because you're taking time to just rest or be inspired and sit still. because we will not function very long if we don't have those times where we replenish.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's a really, really big part of, I think, just who we are as people. And then sure. even part of the creative process and whatever it is that we're creating, we need yeah. that. Who are the people, or where do you find like inspiration? What does it look like for you?
Well, so funny, because while you were talking, I'm like, I just want to give this one example quick.
Yeah.
I literally get my best ideas in the shower. And I think a lot of people are with me there. I've yeah. heard it. When I say it, people are like, ah, that's me too, you know? Yeah. And that's just an example of you're tuning it out. You're just, you're in the shower, you're breathing, the water is coming on you. And all of a sudden, it's the weirdest thing. Like my ideas, I'm like, I wish I had like a voice recorder in there or a pen and paper that wouldn't, you know, so I could write things down. Because, and that's just an example of the power of just taking, I mean, you're taking a step away from everything, you're investing in you. And I think that's important.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of move forward from there. So I feel like if we get our cup filled, then we can give from the overflow of our cup. We can't give from an empty cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Now, what was your question?
Yeah, no, that's what I was asking, it, what that looks like for you, what inspiration looks like for you. So, yeah.
I love going for walks, and like now I'm not looking at mountains. When I was back in Minnesota, we lived on a lake for many, many years. And so water and mountains and oceans and sunsets, like those things are what inspire me. It's the little things that are free. Like I don't need to go spend any money to be inspired. I can just go for a walk and just breathe and enjoy. You know, a lot of times I'll go for a walk and I'll listen to, like, I love to listen to praise and worship music. That inspires me. Or I just am quiet, you know. Sometimes I, you know, listen to podcasts or whatever, but when I'm spending time by myself and I can see the beauty around me, so nature hikes, walks, sitting in the evening and watching a sunset, those are the things that just really refuel me. So,
yeah. Yeah. And it's important to recognize what those things are so we can repeat them.
Yeah.
And know that when we're feeling crispy and we need that time away and we need that break, that we know where to go to get that. And we're not scrambling thinking like, I don't really know, but I know I need something.
Yeah.
Knowing yourself Absolutely. A little bit better that way. Yeah.
Yep.
So I have one last question for you, Terry.
Yeah.
What is one piece of advice that someone's given to you that's been so meaningful to you, whether it's in creating your business or even personally?
Yeah. So, it's okay to pivot. It's okay to change. It's okay if you told everybody you were doing one thing and then you shift gears. It's okay. And we need permission sometimes to go a different direction. And so many people that I have had the opportunity to work with that I can impart that knowledge into, it just releases, like it just ignites a freedom inside of them. Often we're just so worried about what other people are going to think or say because, oh, well, we said we were going to do this. Okay. So something changed. Pivot. And if they ask you why, or if they think that you're a failure, you could say, you know what? I decided to make a change. I can do that. Like, it's my life. I can do what I feel like I need to do to take my next right step. Nobody walks in our shoes. Nobody knows what's going on behind closed doors. Nobody knows what those moving parts are. It's okay to pivot. It's okay to take a step back and regroup and be like, you know what? I thought I was going to go in this direction, but based on circumstances or different things that I've discovered on this path in this direction, it's not really panning out the way that I had anticipated. So I need to pivot. That is okay. The people that don't are the ones that will die a slow, probably horrible, icky death, whatever. Quote, I mean, not like, you know, maybe not figuratively, just like it will be painful because they're afraid of the opinions of others. Their pride gets in the way, whatever it is. And so I just always encourage, it's like people be like, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing this. And I'm like, okay, just stop for a second. What if we did it differently? And it's like, oh, wait a second, because if we keep beating our head against a wall, we're probably, doesn't mean that the wall's going to crumble down or the door is going to open. Maybe we need to find the next door that we just switch the knob and go right in. But a lot of times we're too close to it. And then we don't give ourselves that permission. And most often it's out of fear of I'm a failure. Because if I don't do what I said I was going to do, then I might be perceived as a failure. So the underlying fear is usually most often than not, what will other people think? And again, so, and I'm going to go back, like I'm a woman of faith. So my whole thing is I just say, okay, let's just focus on our audience of one and let's worry about what he thinks. Because for me, a lot of times I'll think of a great idea. I don't know if it's what I'm supposed to be doing or not. I do it. Maybe it doesn't pan out so hot. I'm not really impressed with the results I got. If I keep going down that route, it may not be the right path for me. I need to pivot or change or shift gears or rethink it.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, like, that blessed my socks off many years ago when I had hired a coach and it was a guy. And it was like, he was like, why? He kept asking me, why are you doing that way? Why? He would challenge me on it. And it was because I had always done it that way. Okay, well, maybe it doesn't need to be done that way anymore. And it was like, oh, you're right. It's okay to change, Terry. It's okay to, you know what I mean? But a lot of times, because like when I started my business back in 2009, if you would have told me that my business would look today back then, like I would have been like, no way. I do not have the capability. I don't have the skills. I am not equipped. I don't want to do events. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't like that. But over the years, because I've been able to pivot and change and I'm okay with it and I don't care anymore what anyone thinks, I'm going to make the best right choice for my business, for my family. It's amazing what unfolds in front of us. So that's the best piece I could give you. If you are ever at a crossroad or if you're banging your head against a wall and it's not moving, just take a step back and be like, okay, it's okay. Let's pivot. Let's change. And who cares what anyone else thinks? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, great advice. Great advice, Terry. I'm sure that a lot of people that's really going to speak to where they're at. And just have the permission.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we don't give ourselves permission. And when we hear somebody else speak that, all of a sudden it unlocks something for us. I know that's right. Happened for me in reading some books sometimes or hearing something from someone else. Their own way. And so I think by you just sharing that right now, there are some people who just got permission to pivot into something or pivot away from something.
Yeah.
And that's going to be so huge for them in their own journey. So.
Yeah. Well, there's this process that I encourage everyone to use, and maybe this will be helpful for somebody. And it was something that somebody taught me many years ago. It's called PDR, plan, do, review. Okay. So you plan it, you do it, you review it. And then based on that review, you ask yourself three questions. What will I start doing, stop doing, or continue doing based on this review process? And those are just really powerful, just like non-emotional questions based on the plan, do, review process. What is this prompting me to start, stop, or continue? And it's super powerful. Then you can take the emotion out of it. You can look at it and be like, wow. So if you're thinking about it, just do the PDR, plan to review, and ask yourself those three questions. What will I start, stop, and continue as a result? And those really help take that emotion out of it and just say, okay, I can do this differently.
Yeah. Great framework. Thank you.
Yeah.
So real quick, before we go, where can people find you? How can they keep in touch with you and just follow along with what you're doing?
Yeah. So my website is keepingitpersonal.com. Super easy. You can reach out to me there. I think there's a contact form. Also I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and for Instagram, it's just Terry, one R and an I dot Johnson. And Facebook is, you know, Keeping It Personal. So yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I'll make sure I put those in the show notes so people can find you easily.
Yeah. And if you're interested in the book, it's overcomingthenevers.com or it's on Amazon.
I'll put a link to that as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for joining me today, Terry.
Yeah, it's an honor. And you know what? Keep shining bright because I love your work. You are, you're an inspiration and it's a out of the box, just different approach. And I think it's super unique and powerful. So keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Always the encourager.
Thanks for listening today. I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, leave a rating and a review. It really helps this podcast be seen and heard by others.